From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Noah Adams, here this week for Madeline Brand, who's on assignment. Coming up on the program, an account of the tsunami that hit the Solomon Islands. We'll hear from the editor of the Solomon Star. That's just ahead.
First, more troubles today for an already troubled mortgage market. New Century Financial filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and said it would cut more than half of its workforce, that is 3,200 jobs.
This is the biggest collapse of a mortgage lender so far. New Century Financial had to absorb billions of dollars in unpaid loans from borrowers who defaulted on their subprime loans.
The subprime business has dragged down an already weak housing market. We have two stories now of homeowners dealing with these sorts of loans. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates visited a family whose quest for the American dream has become a financial nightmare.
My name is Alvin Clavon. Currently, I'm actually unemployed. I work on our house to get it sold so that we can finally move and get ourselves out of debt. This is my first house. We moved over here with high hopes and got a lot of equity and so forth, but, you know, things changed with our loan and so forth.
What changed for the Clavon family was their loan terms. Alvin and Debbie Clavon bought their three-bedroom stucco bungalow through friends at their church almost 5 years ago. The couple wanted more space and better schools for their kids. And back then, prices in the L.A. housing market seemed to be climbing at an explosive rate. The original loan for the house was standard. A few years later, they decided to refinance to retire some debt. They'd gone into debt so Debbie could stay home and raise their three young boys. That standard refinance worked fine. But the Clavons got into trouble when they wanted to use some of the rising equity in their home to refinance a third time.
There's another friend of ours that I used to work with, and he was starting his own brokerage firm for lending. And he said, hey, you know, why don't you let me see what I can do for you? And, thanks to him, we are where we are now.
Where they are now is under the thumb of a subprime lender, New Century, that has abruptly jacked up the interest rates on their loan and thousands others like it. The Clavon's monthly note went from $1,500 to $1,800 almost overnight.
We were getting notices in the mail, but by the time we kind of realized the train wreck that was heading towards us, I had been unemployed, so finding a new loan was near to impossible.
Turned out the loan the Clavons got was not the loan they'd been promised.
Initially, it was supposed to be one kind of mortgage, and about 24 hours before the mortgage was due to close, or the refinance was supposed to close, we had gotten a completely different story. You know, it was kind of like, whoa, you know, what just happened?
What just happened was the Clavons' new lender, New Century, had exercised the rights outlined in the loan's contract's very fine print to change the terms at a moment's notice. If Alvin Clavon had still had his job as an account manager for a national employment firm, the extra $300 would have been hard, but not crippling. With no steady income, it was devastating.
You know, looking back, we would have been much better served to just say thanks but no thanks. But, you know, we went forward thinking, okay, well, maybe we can refinance out of this later. We kind of felt, well, we'll still work with it since the ball's already rolling, but that was a bad choice.
And it was the final straw. Alvin spent his unemployed days fixing and polishing up the house in preparation for selling it.
These rooms, these walls, I painted all this. I stained the floors myself, painted those walls. We did the cabinets in the kitchen, painted the kitchen. The porch paint that you just walked in, I just did that this week.
Luckily for Alvin and Debbie, Acorn, a nonprofit dedicated to affordable housing, intervened on behalf of the Clavons and hundreds of other families like them. Acorn claimed New Century had engaged in predatory lending practices in order to sign up families that didn't qualify for standard bank loans. Late last week, Acorn got New Century to agree to suspend collection for 90 days and give Alvin and Debbie 3 months to sell the house and repay their loan at a reasonable rate. But this morning, New Century announced that it has filed for bankruptcy. The Clavons are now anxiously awaiting word of what that will mean for them. If they are able to sell their home, the Clavons plan to move to Huntsville, Alabama. They went to college there and feel they'll get far more bang for their housing buck in a smaller city. Alvin has mixed feelings about the move. He was born in L.A., but he says life here has become prohibitively expensive for many young families.
There's no more 90-10 loan-to-values. They're not doing those anymore. You know, you got to have 5 to 10 to maybe 20% down to buy a home. Most people don't have that. This is one of the last neighborhoods in Los Angeles that I would say that's near in the affordable range where for first-time home buyers.
Alvin Clavon understands how frantic many families are to buy their first homes. He's been there. But he warns against using subprime loans as a way to secure a stable financial future.
You get what you pay for. Read the fine print and consider more than just the fact that getting in is the thing. Because just because you get in doesn't mean that you won't end up with a much worse problem down the road, which is what we're seeing clearly in case after case after case.
Including his own. Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.
There have been some subprime happy endings, as our colleague Madeline Brand found out. Before she left on assignment, she talked with David Peters, who lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, and he told Madeline he wouldn't own a home today if it were not for his subprime mortgage.
My employer at the time, I was having a conversation with him, telling him that we were about to move into a new apartment. And he said, well, why don't you buy my house? And I said, well, I don't have any money or credit. I can't buy your house, and left. I talked to my then-girlfriend at the time and came in the next morning and asked him, well, are you serious? And he said, look, this is what I'll do. We will carry a second mortgage for the 20% down payment, and all you have to do is get a first mortgage for 80%. And I said, you know, given my credit history, there's no way that's going to happen. So he referred me to a mortgage broker that he knew, and lo and behold, the guy was able to put together a mortgage for us, a subprime mortgage.
So that subprime mortgage meant what? What was your interest rate?
Our interest rate, I think, at that point was about 9.95%.
So that's a lot higher than a regular mortgage.
That's a lot higher than a regular mortgage, but it's much lower than if we were to borrow from a hard money lender, a wealthy person in our community who the broker at that time said was lending at 13 to 14%.
Ooh, yeah. And was there a point where your interest rates would have gone even higher?
No, that initial loan was actually fixed.
Okay, so you're locked in now to about 10% interest.
No, we've refinanced 3 or 4 times.
Oh, so what is your interest rate now?
We have 6.5%.
Oh, okay, so now are you in a regular loan?
I think we've climbed into the Alt-A category. So I think 6.5 is not a paper, but it's a 5-year adjustable.
So you basically were able to use the subprime loan to your advantage. In other words, you got into a house that you wouldn't have been able to get into, and the value of your house increased, and so you were able to refinance, and now you're in a regular loan.
Well, I would say that not only were we able to get into a house we wouldn't have been able to get to otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to get into any house without subprime mortgages being available.
So, you know, all the news about subprimes is pretty terrible, and subprimes are getting a really bad rap. And in fact, companies that issued them, some of them are on the verge of bankruptcy. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think you have to separate fraudsters, you know, the individuals engaged in predatory practices, fraudulent practices, from the subprime products themselves. Subprime products do have a place in the financial markets, but you have to be able, though, to enforce the laws against folks who misled people into and failed to disclose what people were getting into. That has nothing really to do with the subprime product, but rather the greed of the individuals involved to do the deal and make the money.
Silicon Valley homeowner and former subprime borrower David Peters, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Madeline.